This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 and you're with Ayman and Chuck on the evening edition. And we're going to start things off, as always, with some popet popet. And today is, of course, the last day of the year. So we thought we'd talk about New Year's Eve and, you know, why some people see this as the time to bring about change in their lives and also whether, you know, resolutions actually work.
So I'm sure many of you at one point in time have made a New Year's resolution, set some targets or what you want to achieve next year. It may be things like going to the gym, reading a certain number of books by the end of the year, or eating healthier. I think I had a New Year's resolution in 2015. It was don't make any more resolutions.
After like 10 failed resolutions, you just give up on it, is it?
No, I just like didn't think that the December-January period was the best time to make resolutions.
Okay. Yeah, because it's interesting because people tend to use New Year's Day as like the occasion to set these new goals, right? And I'm wondering like, why this day? Like, we have 365 days a year. Why this particular day? Why not any other day? And I think, like, on a basic level, right, I think we see it as like a clean, sort of tangible date where we can start to build a new habit or get rid of old ones. And I think that maybe we think that that can help in terms of motivation to actually start doing something. Like, you know, it's a new year. This is it. New me.
I kind of get it, you know, like people wanting to start the new year on a fresh leaf and all that, right? But it might not be the best time, right? I mean, let's say, okay, you want to quit smoking, right? Mm. What do people do on New Year's Eve? They celebrate. They, you know, go party. They drink. And then, you know, what do you do when you do that? You kind of might pick up a cigarette or a smoke or whatever, you know? So I'm not sure whether it's the most conducive time. So sometimes, like, I feel like if you have a New Year's resolution, which, I mean, for instance, like, I gave up smoking this year, mm-hmm. right? And I think that the date was very important. And I think that setting it at a time that was comfortable for me, not necessarily on January 1st, mm-hmm. Was actually better. Because if not, if you set it at a time where, you know, it's not convenient for you and then you'd be dreading the day and, you know, so on and so forth, there's a lot of psychology that goes on behind it, like, you know?
Yeah, and that's a good point about your readiness for change, right? Because change comes when it will come, you know. You can't force it. And I think like setting it on a date, like 1st January, I'm going to start doing this. That is in a way sort of like pushing yourself in a corner or maybe like forcing yourself to change. Whereas in fact, maybe like subliminally or internally, you are not ready for it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point you brought up. Like the whole starting on the new year, everybody starts on the new year. And you know, there's a lot of pressure to get something done. You know, on the New Year's, like, hey, what are your New Year's resolutions? And then you tell them and you tell them and you tell them. And then sometimes just by telling somebody, you can actually kind of jinx it already.
Exactly. That's what I experienced as well. Like, there was one time in December 20, whenever, like a few years ago, I was swimming more than I usually do, you know, and I thought that, oh, this is the thing. You know, I can start doing this. So next year, my resolution will be to start swimming regularly. Of course, the moment I set that as a resolution, I absolutely did not do it. I feel like institutionalizing it as a resolution like jinxes it, like really ruins it.
Right. Is that why you're wearing the water theme shirt today? Because you plan to have that swimming resolution again?
No. Like you, Chuck, I've decided not to have any more resolutions.
Good on you, man.
If I will change, I will change when I am ready. So as with every pulpit, right, we collected some thoughts and this time we asked around about the concept of New Year's resolutions. And these were some of the goals that, you know, the people around the office had at some point tried to work towards.
I used to set New Year's resolutions when I was younger. It was mostly involving health resolutions, to be healthier or exercise more or eat healthier. Yeah,
definitely I have. I think in my adolescence, I set a resolution to be more outgoing, gregarious.
I've made New Year's resolutions to, I guess, to be healthier, both in terms of like exercise more and eat healthier meals.
Yeah, so I think in the past, I set things like try to exercise more, try to get more sleep, try not to be late for things and do things on time.
Wow, those are good goals. Mm-hmm. Good goals. The question, of course, is how successful were they?
I think so. It was right about the time I went for uni, and everybody in university is, I guess, by virtue of being a community, more gregarious. So I think that was able to get that from them.
I feel like I was most successful when I actually wanted to do it. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not I made the resolution in, like, January or June. At the end of the day, like, it only depended when I want to do it that it would be fulfilled. You know, so a New Year's resolution has never been successful for me because, you know, I don't think there's a point in making a New Year's resolution just because it's the beginning of the year.
I think generally not as successful as I would have hoped, as I think it's difficult to keep. I think it's difficult to be perfect on these things. You can be better, but it's difficult to be absolutely 100% perfect.
Most of the time, not successful. I think like most people at the start of the year, you start off really strong because you're so optimistic about a new year. And then towards the end, you kind of peter out and it kind of just dies out. Yeah.
And we also asked if they plan to do anything differently this time in 2020.
Not particularly, but maybe I'll give all these resolutions another go.
It's different in the sense that I don't set resolutions anymore. Now my practice is to say that if I want to do something, I start it straight away and not wait for like a new year or a new decade to start. I guess that's different.
No, not quite. I think just staying on the same path, doing the best I can.
Nothing in particular. I guess just if anything, I just graduated. So this year I would hope to focus more on my career and where I move from here.
Wow, not really a high success rate. I'm feeling much better about myself right now.
I think it is quite common for people to find that, you know, they, not to say failed, but didn't manage to commit to their New Year's resolutions. And I think for me, personally, where I went wrong is that I wanted it to happen immediately. Mm. Like, I wanted to see the results immediately. I wanted to start swimming once every week at least or whatever. So when I first didn't get to do it every week, that's when things started to derail and eventually it all disappeared. So I think the lesson that I learned from my experience with that, you need to understand that these things take time. A change in habit takes time. Getting rid of old habits is very difficult, also takes time. So you cannot expect like immediate results. And I think that's one of the flaws in the plan that people find when they find that they cannot commit to their New Year's resolution.
So, I mean, like for me, like going back to the quitting smoking thing, right? There was actually some warnings in the course that I was taking to actually quit smoking that, you know, don't take these group challenges where a group of you, you know, chooses to quit smoking together. Mm. And then all of you have like a, you know, oh, if you quit beyond a certain date and then you have to pay a penalty or whatever, right? So the book actually said that in groups, the likelihood of success was actually lowered. So maybe mm-hmm. that might be something there, you know, like in terms of like if everyone commits to something on a particular date, there's actually a lower chance of success because a lot of these challenges are very, very personal. You know, it's a personal challenge to yourself. Mm-hmm. So why would you take it together with everybody else?
So we want to hear from you guys. What do you think about New Year's resolutions? And what are your plans for 2020? Do you have any resolutions that you want to share with us? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegatevi Jegatesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
5:15 in the evening and you are with Ayman and Chuck on the Evening Edition. And today we are talking about New Year's Eve and how we use this as a time to bring about fresh starts and maybe get rid of old habits as well. And to take us through this, we have Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegatevi Jegatesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. Good evening, Dr. Anasuya. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, can I ask you, do you believe in New Year's resolutions?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Well, I made a resolution about 12 years ago. I still have kept, I kept that resolution never to make another one. I've kept that one for 12 years.
Do you mind us asking what it was?
Never to make another New Year's resolution.
Hey, high five. That's the same one I had.
There you go, you know? Okay. Why does it work? Now, it doesn't work because of a simple thing. Motivation starts things.
Right.
In the history mm-hmm. of the world, motivation doesn't finish anything. If you wait for motivation to finish your exam paper, you will never do it. If you wait for motivation to finish your thesis, to, you know, in the last leg of your thesis or your research paper, if you're waiting for motivation, if you happen to be unfortunate enough to be a PhD student, if you're waiting for motivation, your time will finish before motivation hits. If you are running a marathon in the last leg of it, not the one where you can see the finish line, because then, okay, I'll agree, there's a burst of motivation there. But the critical point, that, you know, 2-3 miles before you see the end of it, and you just see this long road and you don't know how long it is and you're running, you're going to get motivation at that point? No. Motivation starts stuff. Motivation is short. It's a burst of energy. It's a burst of commitment. But then it takes determination. It takes planning. It takes work. And, you know, New Year's is fun. And in Malaysia, we have this whole fortunate, but after New Year, it's a whole period of celebration. You know, you've got Chinese New Year coming up, you've got all the holidays. Seriously, if you have a if you make a resolution to lose weight, you really think that's the proper time to start?
Not going to work.
That's true. Yeah.
There's a balance of, you know, you can get motivated to start something, but then how do you continue that something? How do you create that determination to, you know what, I'm going to slog through this every day, no matter what, I'm going to do this. You know, and that's not motivation. That's doing stuff which you don't want to do. I don't feel like waking up in the bed in the morning, but we wake up and go to work. I don't feel like doing this crap for my boss. My boss just yelled at me. I feel lousy. I feel crappy, but you know what? It's work. I got to do it. I'm doing it.
Fair enough. I mean, coming from a Chinese family, I think losing weight during Chinese New Year is actually considered a sin. So, yeah, definitely not.
It's more like a dream, like, you know?
It's not a very nice dream either. So, actually, I wanted to ask, like you said, motivation's at the start, not the end, and I understand that. I totally agree with that. Do you think that actually, like, New Year's Eve has... I mean, it's just a date like any other, right? January 1st is just a date, just like January 6th or February, whatever.
It's not.
Why is that?
Because we have given it meaning. As a society, as a world, we have given it a worldwide celebration meaning. It's a day worldwide you can track everybody celebrating. So it has meaning because it marks something in our collective consciousness about the end of a period and a beginning of a new one. So, you know, in terms of, so that's when we take stock. Automatically, it's a time when whether you have a resolution or you don't have a resolution, you look back and take stock at where am I now? And this is done by everybody, and that's why people are motivated to make resolutions. Mm-hmm. But then motivation is not backed by determination to change, so that's why it doesn't happen. But that's the period of taking stock. Just taking stock of something doesn't mean you're going to change something. It just means, okay, I know stuff are wrong. But knowing stuff are wrong doesn't mean I have the willpower, I have the resources, I have the finances, I have the understanding, I have the appreciation to make those changes. But it has meaning. The meaning comes from the collective, you know, world giving it meaning.
And does giving it meaning necessarily help or hinder us in terms of, you know, like wanting to achieve these resolutions?
It depends on you. I mean, the world can give anything meaning, and then it becomes down to the individual. New Year's Day is not going to stop you or not going to help you. It just is a reminder of a time when people take stock. So once you take stock, what you do with that, you know, that taking stock period, that's up to you. Then it becomes down to the individual. That's why the group stuff doesn't work. Because in the group stuff, you're motivated as a group. I think you mentioned it just now, and it's true. You're motivated to make those resolutions. But whether you're ready to make those changes on an individual level to continue that, that's harder.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. Actually, to share with you, I actually did try to quit smoking with a bunch of friends before. And yes, there were some liars in the group. And after that, there was a lot of resentment. And eventually, everybody just went back to it. So you're absolutely right.
That's why two people works better.
Yeah. Actually,
you know, like when you're accountable to one person and that one person is accountable to you, mm-hmm. AA and all that have that kind of AAA, they have that policy, that works better because then it's one-on-one. So it's your relationship with that person and that person has to be accountable to you.
Right, so definitely not the more the merrier in that case.
No, because like you said, people start lying and when they lie, there's resentment. When there's resentment, then it just builds up and then you use any excuse under the sun not to do it.
Yeah, okay, so on that topic, right, so what are the things that actually make resolutions more likely to succeed? Like, if we were to advise people, okay, you don't have to do it on January 1st, do it whenever, but what would increase their chances of succeeding with these resolutions?
You have to know who you want to be. Nowadays I see everywhere it's what you want to be. Okay, so what do you want to be 2 years from now? But actually, it's who do you want to be 2 years from now? If you imagine yourself on New Year's Eve, 2 years from now, you're walking into a room. Who is that person? Describe that person. What do they look like? What is their impact on the room? That's the person you want to be. You got to visualize that. Once you have that in your visual, then you have to start working towards that. And that working towards that means making plans. Lots of plans. Long term, short term, day to day, week to week, month to month. And, you know, like with any organization, any business, if you go in with a vague goal and everything is vague, it's just not going to happen. But if you really want to make the change, then you've got to put in that effort. And, you know, I'm overweight and I'm comfortable with my weight at the moment. And I know I can lose for short term. And then after that, I go back to being overweight again. And I'm comfortable with that. But because that's not my determination. My determination was to get a PhD and I got that. Mm. So, you know, there are different things that at different times have different meaning to us. And if this is your time and you have made that commitment to yourself, this is my time, then you have to slowly get the resources. And one of the biggest resources you have to understand, and I say it's kind of the hardest that we have, especially in our culture, is that the people that wanted you to change, when you start changing, they become the people that stop you the most. because people don't like change.
You know, earlier you were talking about motivation, right, and determination. Because usually what I find is that past January or past the first week of January, that's when things start to unravel. So I just want to ask you, like, how can people stay motivated past January or past the first week of January so that you can achieve their resolutions?
You can't stay motivated. You have, if you want to do something, how many of us wanted to study for SPM? How many of us wanted to sit for the bloody exam? Okay, let's use a framework that everybody in Malaysia can appreciate. Studying for the exams. When we studied for the exams, we studied for 8-9 papers at the same time. We slogged through it. Nowadays, we think about even sitting down and studying those books and looking at those books. We wonder how the hell did we do that at that age? None of our kids are motivated to study. But families are determined, they are determined. You like it, you don't like it, you sit down, you go for tuition, you go for this, you study, exam is coming, nothing is going to change that, you have to pass the exam. Now, when you have that type of mindset, it works. Okay. So if you want to tell me about motivation, give me one student in school who was motivated to study.
Definitely not me.
Yeah, exactly, nice guy. Yeah. Or anybody else, but you know, I've got the PhD now. And I got that because at the end I just didn't give up. I was not an A student. But I just didn't give up. And, you know, you just keep trying different ways. What works for you? You got to find what works for you and then use that. But, you know, don't go in thinking, I'm going to feel good about it all the time. You're not. None of us felt good studying during SPM, but we just needed to do it.
So if I can just kind of like try to wrap my head around what you said earlier about imagining yourself in 2 years and that person walking into a room. It's kind of like almost thinking of yourself, correct me if I'm wrong, thinking of yourself as a business and writing a business plan for yourself to develop it. Is that about right?
No, it's about thinking about yourself as a person. You see, when you do as a business plan, you're only looking at, you know, your financial outcomes or whatever. Mm. But when you're looking at a human being, it's not just the outcomes of business. It is also my relationship with my family, my relationship with my partner, my relationship with my kids. Now, if you're thinking of yourself as a business, there's a likelihood of sacrificing those things to get to that business, which is what businesses do. So when I say look at the person, then you need to look at yourself and what is the impact of the room around you? Who are with you? Who are on your side? So how do you maintain all these relationships and reach those goals, which basically means in some ways it's more complicated than business. Maybe it's like running a damn good business, but you know, it's not. It's about, you know, becoming who you want to be.
Dr. Anusia, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
I know, I didn't make it easier, did I?
No, you made it very easy, yeah. It might not be so easy to actually achieve the goals, but you made it easy for us, definitely, yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Happy New Year to both of you and have a good one.
Happy New Year, Dr. Anusia.
Happy New Year to you too. That was Associate Professor Dr. Anusia Jegatevi Jegatesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. So, we want to hear what are your plans for 2020. We want to know what are your resolutions. Do you have any plans for next year? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So, keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.